Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good to be with all of you. Good to be here in God's house this morning. Let me tell you a little story before I get started here. Went home yesterday. We'd been camping. Come back in, pulled the camper in. We got out of the camper. And Tink walked to the house, and she noticed something up in the backyard running. She said, too big to be a squirrel. So she got up there. She got to looking at it. And here it was a groundhog. And what the groundhog had done, it went first off, went over and tore out a big bunch of trash, so we had that mess cleaned up. But anyway, she watched it there for a minute. She called me out there, and we went out and looked. And what that groundhog had done, it come up and went up against the trees that was in the back of the yard there, stood up on its back legs and stood up against the tree with its eyes open and thought it was camouflaged. And actually, if you didn't realize it, I mean, you know, the thing blended in kind of good with the tree. But I walked up to the thing and I looked at it. Eyes were open, just standing there. That's what it was doing. Thought it was perfectly camouflaged. The first thing I did, I grabbed my dog. I took and put it up because it wouldn't have been happy if my dog would have seen it first. So I took and I put the dog up so the dog wouldn't tear into the thing. So we walk away, we go back down, do something, come back up here a little bit later. She goes up here and the thing's going. Of course, I thought first off it was sick or something. No, it thought it was camouflaged. So I want to talk to everybody this morning. The Lord put something upon my heart, but this just goes with it, you know. But you truly know, you know, you may think that you're camouflaged. You may think that you're where you are and should stand with the Lord. You see, there's a sermon in anything if the Lord deals with you on thing, right? There is. You may think that that you come to church. You may think that you talk a good game. I'm here to tell you this morning, you have to be born again. No doubt about it. There's no in-between about this thing. You can talk the best game in the world you want to talk. You could come to church every Sunday and every Wednesday that you want to, but if you do not have the Spirit of God in your heart, you're just as lost as somebody out here in the world. I just want to get that across to you this morning. But you know, I got a question for everybody in here this morning. And this is a question I'm going to repeat later on. But I want you to listen to this. When you go home from church service, are you satisfied? I'm asking you, not with what the preacher said, not with what was taught, not with what was happened in church. I'm asking you, when you go home from church this morning or in the evening, whenever you go, can you look at it and can you say within yourself, man, I'm satisfied. I am satisfied where my life's at. I'm satisfied with what's going on. Now, I know we have to grow in the Lord. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about something that happens week after week after week. Are you satisfied? Is the desires of your heart been taken care of? Because if you're not, I'm going to tell you something this morning. You need to reevaluate. You need to reevaluate where you're at and where you stand with the Lord. Absolutely. Serving God and having His Son in your life should be the most important thing. I heard a preacher say one time, and he said this, make a list of the top 10 things in your life. Make a list of the top 10 things in your life. And if Jesus isn't in every one of them, you need to make another list. Can I tell you that this morning? We're going to read in John chapter 7, beginning in verse 37. If you would, if you can this morning, please stand. John chapter 7, beginning of verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, now get this, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now get this, 39. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Let us pray. Father, as we come this morning, Lord, I want to come with nothing but thanksgiving in my heart, Lord. I want to praise you. You're a good God. You're the God that has given us everything, the God that has made it possible for us to spend eternity with you. Father, I pray, Lord, this morning now that you would open up hearts, that you'd open up minds. And I say this all the time, Lord, and I mean, I need the anointing this morning, Lord. I need a touch from you. I need my lips to be free to say what you want them to say, Lord. And Father, we will give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it all. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And you may be seated, and thank you. Thank you. This was a week of great celebration. This is what he's talking about. This is the Feast of the Tabernacle. And this is important. Listen to this. During that week, they had feasts, they had banquets, they had family reunions. And if ever there was a time where they ate well, if ever there was a time that they drank well, it was this week. The Feast of the Tabernacle. What it done, it celebrated. One of the things that, there's two different things that it celebrated. It celebrated the harvest, and it also celebrated keep them in mind about how that they were brought out of the land of Egypt. And this is what it celebrates. It was like, I'll just put it, it was like Memorial Day, the 4th of July, Labor Day, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and a birthday celebration all wrapped up into one week. That's exactly what this is consisted of this week. Listen, this is when you make the cookies that you don't make any other time of the year. Right? This is when you pull out recipes that you haven't pulled out for a year and you make that again there. This is what this kind of celebration was. And when they would do whenever they would have this celebration, they walk about, and brother said, we need to learn this right here. They would walk about and they would praise the Lord all the time, is what they would do. They would praise God and praise the Lord, and then they would sing psalms. They would sing psalms, and what they would sing was Psalms 120 through 134. That's what they would do. They went around doing that all the time. Brother said, you know what? It would do our hearts good if we would walk around praising God and singing praises unto Him and giving Him glory when we're not in a church setting. Can I have an amen? It would do that. Only the best was brought out, the best bowls, the best whatever, it was brought out. Something else they did during this week, and it's very important. They would carry water from the Pool of Siloam and take it to the altar of burnt offering altar. And what they would do, there would be a silver pot set up beside the altar, and they would pour this water in there. And you know what the water signified? It signified the Holy Spirit, is what it signified, which had not yet been given. The water symbolized the Holy Spirit, the only true source of life. They would say this, listen to this, he who has not seen the rejoicing at the place of the water drawing has never seen rejoicing in his life. Can I tell you something? If you don't have the Holy Spirit in your life, you're not going to know what it is to rejoice. Is that right, Alita? You're not going to know what it's like. They were teaching up here this morning, talking about, you know, the affairs of the heart when it talked about adultery and murder and all that kind of stuff. You may be sitting back here, well, how in the world can we get by without that? Let me tell you something. There's only one way, and that is to drink the living water of Jesus Christ. That is the only way, because you're not going to do it on your own. You're not going to take care of it on your own. I think about some things whenever it was talking about committing adultery within your mind. Jesus took it a step farther because he knew how mankind was. He knew how it was. And I'm telling you this morning, brothers and sisters, we have to have that drink of the living water. Romans 8:9 says this, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. This isn't Dave Long standing up here trying to preach something to you that I believe. This is what the Word of God says. If you don't have the Spirit of God, if you have not drank the living water, you will not have the Spirit of God. All this stuff will sound as nonsense to you here this morning. Listen, there's a whole world out there today that they think the Bible's nonsense, they think the preaching's nonsense, and I don't go out around about trying to judge them. I'm just telling you that's how they are because they do not have the Spirit of God in their life. They don't have it. In other words, without the Spirit, you are dead spiritually, is what it's saying. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. You can't do it. I can stand up here and I can talk to you about spiritual things all that I want until I'm blue in the face. You will never understand it unless the Spirit of God dwells in you. There's no way you can. There's no way that it will ever happen. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You can't do it. It won't happen unless you have that drink of water. You don't understand the Bible or think it's outdated or it's just plain nonsense. After the water was poured into these silver basins, the people would become silent. This is what happened at the Feast of Tabernacles on the last day. Every day after this happened, it would become silent. You know why? They were listening for the wind. You know what the wind did? Go over to Acts 2. It says there, they said that they were in the upper room. And what happened? It said that they were waiting for the promise. And it said, just about that time, there came the sound of a rushing mighty wind. And it said, it came and fell upon each one of them as cloven tongues. I'm here to tell you this morning, brothers and sisters, they were waiting for the Holy Spirit. That's what that signified. And brothers and sisters, we can have that Holy Spirit today. We can have it. I'm going to read Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and to begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now take all that into account. 7 days of that feast, every day they took water to the altar. Every day they remained silent and they listened for the wind. Every day they did this. And then Jesus, on the 8th day, when the feast was wrapping up, Jesus stands up and he said this, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. They had been eating, they had been drinking all week. And Jesus stands up and tells them that. I know you're still, he knew their hearts. He said, I know that you've been drinking physically. I know that you've been eating physically, but I can tell you right now, there's a bunch of you here who are still thirsty. Can I tell you something? There's people sitting in churches today. Maybe this church, I don't know your heart, but you go out of here, maybe you're here for the first time, maybe you're here week after week, and you go out of here and you're still thirsty. You're still longing for something more, something that deep down in your soul that needs to be taken care of. Can I tell you this morning, Jesus has offered it to you. And it says, he said, drink of the living water. And he said, out of you will flow wells of water, rivers of water will flow out of you. And brother said, you will be the witness that you need to be. And I'm telling you this morning, you get that and you will never thirst for the longing of Jesus again. You'll know what it's about. You'll whether you go out here in the world and you try to fill it with things out here in the world, I don't know what it may be. I'm telling you, when you get a hold of the real thing, the waters of life, the living water, it'll take care of the situations. It'll take care of that. He said, I know this reunion hasn't satisfied the longing of your soul. Listen, you could come to church service after church service. You could shake hands with person after person. You can smile and you can say, man, what a nice service it is. And you can go home and you can still not be satisfied with where your life's at. Can I have an amen? Absolutely. But I'm here to tell you, when you get what Jesus was offering, you'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you've been touched by the Lord's hand. Praise His name this morning. Jesus says, I have something to give you. I have something to give each and every one of you here this morning. And it's better than the best day. It's better than the best week. It's better than whatever you could have experienced. A lot of people look at me crazy when I say this. It's better than whenever you got married. It's better than whenever you had your first child. It's better than whatever you had, your grandchild, because you know why? Because Jesus Christ said it is living water, and it'll never fail you. Marriages can fail. Your grandchildren can do stuff to hurt and to do stuff like that. But I'm telling you, Jesus Christ, whenever you get the living water, it will not fail you. It will not fail you. Praise His name this morning. Praise His holy and precious name this morning. Better than the best day. Better than the best celebration on the calendar that you could put out there. And it doesn't end when the party's over. You don't want to know why? Because you can take it home with you. I mean, here in a little bit, we're going to have an altar call to up here. And you're going to come up here amongst the dinosaurs if you want to. Don't let that stop you. And I'm here to tell you, you can get on your knees and praise His holy name. Jesus Christ can come into your life. The Spirit can come into your life. And it can take you no matter where it needs to take you. Better than the best celebration. And you can enjoy it every single day. Jesus called it living water. We all saw the sign. We're out traveling. Have you ever seen the sign, a scenic overlook, outlook, to stop 1 mile? How many of you ever stopped them? Sometimes they're all right, sometimes they're not. But you know, I've done that. So let's stop and look at what this means for you and me right now, what I've just mentioned. Churches are filled with people who leave out of them every week, and they say to themselves, that they say this, the celebration's over, the celebration's over, but I'm still the same as I was when I came into this church. My prayer for you this morning is that you go out of this church better than what you come into it. I say this quite often. If you're the same person that you are 1 year from now spiritually, you haven't grown, you need to reevaluate. You need to reassess, because I'm telling you, with the Lord, it is a growing process. It is a sanctification process. And you will grow year after year as long as you stay, keep your nose in His Word and keep your on your knees in prayer. You can grow. When you leave here, you're just as empty as when you came in these doors. If you're like that, when you experience the teaching and the preaching of the worship services and all the songs and the praise and worship, you hear folks testifying of the goodness of God. You talk and shake hands. You smile at one another. And then you do this week after week, year after year. But nothing changes in your life. I'm here to tell you, it ought not to be that way. It ought not to be that way. You leave desiring and wanting more. It's one thing, Greg, and you know this as well as I do. It's one thing to want more and to keep desiring more. But it's another thing to go out of here and your desires are not fulfilled. Your desires are not taken care of. Your desires are something other than what the Bible calls for. Because if you go out of here like that, I'm here to tell you today, it's a reevaluation time this morning for you. Absolutely. Reevaluation time for you. Praise His name. Praise God this morning. Listen, is it possible? I want to ask, I'm talking to each one of you here. Is it possible that you've been to the banquet table, but you've never taken the Lord has offered you to drink? Is it possible? You sat in services, you've heard the preacher preach, you've heard him talk, you've heard people teach, and you know what? You think, well, grandma and grandpa went to church, mom and dad went to church, and they were all okay. You know what? I'm okay. No, that ain't the way it works. My Bible tells me you need to work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Your own salvation. It isn't what mom did or dad did. It isn't what anybody else in this church is doing. It's about what you are doing with the Lord. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Jesus knew their hearts. Don't fool yourself. He knows yours. He knows yours. I can stand up here and I can look over this congregation. I thought about sometimes having people just come up here and sit in the choir and just watch the congregation for me and see what I see. I thought about that sometimes, but I haven't done that. I probably won't. But I'm just telling you this morning, listen. You know, Jesus knows your heart. I mean, there's people that look at you just like, oh, yeah. Right? I'm just telling you this morning, that's the way it goes. Is it possible that you've been to the celebration and the feasting, but you've never received anything more than physical enjoyment out of it? Man, there's people that love to come to churches because they love to get with people. They do. I know. I'm here to tell you this morning, it's more than that. I come to church. I come to church to worship the one that died for me. I come to church to worship and praise Him. I love all you people. And I love getting with you. But that's not the reason I come to church. It's not the reason. I don't come here just to gather together and just to have a good old time. And I hope and pray that the Spirit moves you and we just praise and rock the place down. But I'm here to tell you that's the reason we should be here this morning is for Him and Him only. I guarantee you Greg and Michelle doesn't want Dalton and them here just because Greg and Michelle's here. I don't want Stephanie and Brian here just because me and Tink's here. And you should not want the same thing either. You should want them here because they want to have a desire to serve the Lord, to serve Him. The physical stimulation and being in a nice place with nice people, that's better than all that junk out here in the world. Listen, I understand there is a lot of junk out here in the world. And sometimes you may be a good person. You don't like all the junk out in the world. But you just come to church because you don't want to be around all the junk. You want to be with people of like mind. But can I tell you, if you haven't drunk of the living water, it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. He wants us to drink of the living water. He wants us to not be like that old groundhog and just go and think that nobody sees or nobody knows because God knows. But it really didn't do it for me. What the preacher and the teacher and all the testimonies, it didn't do nothing for me. Let me say to you this like that here this morning. I can't do it for you. I could stand up here and preach and preach and preach until I'm blue in the face. I can. I hope and pray that I have given you scripture down through the time, the 13 years I've been here. I hope and pray that you've heard that you need to be born again and that you need to be saved. If I don't get anything else across to anybody else here this morning, you need that. The teachers can't do for you. Greg and Paul and Ken and whoever else has taught down through the years down here. I know. I listen to them. They give you the word. They give it to you. The singers can't do it. We have some talent in this church. Teresa, if Teresa would, I guarantee you, Teresa would drag you up to this altar and get you saved. Teresa can't do it. Tony can't do it. Mike can't do it. It can't be done that way. You've got to want to come on your own. You've got to be willing to want to drink of the living water. The congregation in here can't do it. We have some wonderful people in this church. They got some wonderful testimonies in this church. I've heard it down through the years. I know. But they can't save you. They can't. You've got to take of the water Jesus is offering on your own. And if and when you will not go away dissatisfied. Can I have an amen? Amen. I got saved many years ago. Back in the mid-70s. I got saved. Jesus saved this old boy. And you know what? I've had my ups and downs, Ken. Been through a lot. But you know what? He may have been dissatisfied with me, but I've never been dissatisfied with Him. Amen? Amen. Listen to me this morning. You may go out of here dissatisfied, but if you go out of here dissatisfied this morning, it's your own fault. It's your own fault. You can't blame it on me because you know you can't blame it on the church. You can't blame it on this. You blame it on yourself because it's you, between you and the Lord. If and when you will not go away continuing to search for satisfaction. You know that? You go out of here. Once you get that living water, you'll go out of here. You'll not continue to continually look for something else to replace what's in your soul. You'll go away just like the Samaritan woman at the well. I love it. She said, and when Jesus told her, if thou knewest the gift of God, who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee what? Living water. Living water. She went into the city telling everyone that would listen, hey, I found it. Amen. I found it. Guess what? I found it. I know just exactly. Listen, brothers, when you get a hold of it, you want to tell the world that I found it. You'll tell the world that I have found it, I've got what you've got, what was given, and I want to share it with everybody else. The woman then left the water pot and went into her way into the city and saith unto the men, come and see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is this not the Christ? Is this not the Christ? I'm telling you, when I got saved, I knew it was Jesus. I knew exactly what it was. I didn't have to go home and ask mom what it was. I didn't have to go home. They didn't know what it was either. They thought I was nuts for a while. But praise God, I'm glad I'm nuts. Praise God, I'm glad that I've got and drunk of the living water. I found him. Can I tell you? You go out of here this morning, if you come up here and give it to him, you go out of here saying, I found him. And you'll be telling everybody, guess what I got a hold of? Matthew 7, 21, 23. Not everyone, and this is why I say, don't be like that old groundhog. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name did many wonderful works. And listen to what Jesus tells them. I don't know about you, but this should scare everybody. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. They thought they were good people. They thought that they were right at the top of the charts. Jesus told them, depart from me, I never knew you. That's pretty sad. I'm not longing for something more to make my life worth living. I don't do that anymore. My life's worth living because I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. My life is worth living. I've said this to you 100 times. I love my wife. I love my kids and stuff. And I love them to pieces. But they're not what did me. Praise God. Praise God. My life's worth living because I get up and touch my feet on the floor every morning and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul one day. Amen. Have you ever had this taste of the living water that creates a well that comes forth out of you? John 4:14, and Jesus said this, and I want to read it to you. It says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The spiritual thirst will be quenched. You won't have a longing for things of this world to satisfy you no more. Did you experience that in your life? If you're not tasted of the living water, you have not experienced it. And everything I'm preaching to you this morning is just going right over your head. It's going right over your head, just like that. Because you need to have that to understand. If you have a longing for more, it's only found in one place, and that's in Jesus Christ. Do you have a longing here this morning? I don't know your hearts again. Now, you may be fooling everyone around you, but you're not fooling God. You're just not. It'll never happen. Just understand that. Proverbs 21:2. I'm finishing up. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. He looks into the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewed out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. You know, whenever God, my Bible tells me that God took all the water in this world and held it in the hollow of his hand. Did you know that? Held it in the hollow of his hand before he dispensed it whenever he created this world. He knows just exactly every drop of water that's here. He knows your heart. He knows if the Spirit lives within your heart. He knows what's going on in your life. I can't say it any better than that. But I can say this today. This altar is here this morning. Julie, get a song ready, please. This altar is here this morning, and if you're being dealt with the way the Lord deals with people, do not walk to this altar, run to it. Get to this altar this morning. Fall on your knees and people will pray for you that the Holy Spirit, that you'll drink of the living water. Is your cistern broken this morning? If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. If you have a true thirst, he will satisfy you. That's the God that I serve. Amen. Let's stand this morning.